Welcome to episode 49 of The Climate Champions. I'm Lee Krivat, and each week I publish a new episode with a new climate champion as my guest or guests. This week I'm talking again with the co-founders of Pi Energy, Phil Layton, the CEO, and board member David Andreessen. If you or someone you know is a climate champion, please let me know at www.krivatenergyinnovations.com. Driven by the fact that sunlight is the greatest potential source of clean energy, Pi Energy is dedicated to being the future of clean energy. Pi is developing solar energy that is affordable, paired with the flexibility to provide power just about anywhere. This unique combination of strengths makes this nanometallic solution the first globally scalable PV technology. It can be placed on almost any surface and at a low cost. If you want to talk about Pi Energy, topics from previous episodes, or just grab a peaty scotch with me, join me at DistribuTech International, the leading annual transmission and distribution event that addresses technologies used to move electricity from the power plant through the transmission and distribution systems to the meter and inside the home. DistribuTech runs from January 28th to the 30th, and I'll be there the entire time, though admittedly, Wednesday I'll be pretty busy. I'll be hosting the New Business Models for Utilities Breakfast Roundtable, then moderating a mega session on how digital solutions are enabling a decarbonized grid, where Google and utilities will discuss decarbonizing by leveraging the cloud at 10, and then sharing a session on real-world microgrids, templates for the future, where we'll examine three distinct microgrid projects at 2 o'clock. And lastly, rumor has it I'll be doing a live podcast on Thursday. More information on that as plans firm up. Phil Layton, co-founder and CEO of Pi Energy, holds a BS in physics from UC San Diego, a MS in physics from UC Irvine, and a JD from the University of San Diego. His dual physics and law degrees, combined with experience in plasmonics, nanotechnology, radiation effects on semiconductors and satellite systems, solar energy, and plasma physics, are uniquely suited to the multifaceted requirements of running Pi Energy. Co-founder and board member David Andreessen has over 17 years' experience in corporate finance, working on private investments in public equity, private company transactions, hedge funds, and investment banks, with a particular focus in innovative and clean technologies. He has negotiated and structured dozens of transactions for hedge funds and investment banks domestically and in cross-border financings. Formerly, David worked in astrophysics and materials science, funded by NASA and the U.S. Department of Energy. Welcome to the Climate Champions. I'm Lee Krivat, and I'm talking with the co-founders of Pi Energy. This is actually the first time that I'm doing a second podcast with the same people. We have Phil Layton, the CEO of Pi Energy, and David Andreessen, who's on the board. And full disclosure, I've recently been asked to be on the board. So gentlemen, thank you very much for having me again.
Thank you, Lee.
With regards to climate change, can you talk about your motivating moment? What made you start this long journey and leave behind what you were doing before?
I've always been interested in this since I was a kid, and I started off in fusion research as a graduate student. And I lived in Southern California with lots of smog. And back then it was your immediate impact. But as I grew to understand the more global impact, it became more necessary to do something. And as I had children, I realized my legacy was more important to me and the impact on them.
Thank you, Phil. David, how about you?
All of us here grew up in the shadow of the Cold War, staring down the barrel of total obliteration Armageddon. And in the 90s, I thought, hey, we're heading out of that, but there's this climate issue that's growing and growing. So I think I may have switched phobias from nuclear Armageddon to a mass extinction event. And it only until 2002, 2003, even though for several years I was looking at sustainability issues to get involved with, did I realize, holy cow, we're looking at a potential extinction event. And that was after looking at some of the data from some NASA satellite imagery, looking at changes in the ocean. There's a hydrogen sulfide bacterial blooms that were occurring off the coast of Namibia, which were analogous to events that led to the Permian-Triassic extinction. As it's known in paleontology, the Great Dying, which took out over 90% of species on this planet. And that was a global warming event. And at the time, there was a very little data on how fast climate was changing and what the trajectory was. And at that point, I realized we need to do a lot more, a lot faster, and stop playing around.
So I know that both of you have children, and that's a big driver for you. But why else are you doing this? Why is it really personal?
You always have instances in history where people see catastrophes coming, and most people do nothing because they don't see it coming. And other people realize you need to do something because you know. And people, I think, like Phil and I, because we know and we have the access to the information and the training, you realize not only do you have to do something, you have a responsibility because nobody else is looking at this stuff. So it's a guilt trip.
That's a good motivator. I think it motivates a lot of what I do. So you obviously understand the science and believe it to your core so much that you sacrifice so much to make PI successful. When you meet people that don't understand the science and don't believe it and doubt that this is worth the journey, how do you change their minds?
There's two ways. One is from a technical perspective, it's kind of like putting on a blanket. You just get hotter. But the second part is you can see it occurring now. We have more intense fires. I don't remember this many fires growing up in California. And why wouldn't you want to do... It's like an insurance policy. Why not do something if you can to prevent what could be potentially catastrophic? Why would you ignore what you're seeing starting to occur in front of you?
Especially with the falling prices of solar.
Yes.
And what you guys are doing to further drive it down and further make it be more useful to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. If you can bring it so people, it's not that difficult to just do something about it, then why not?
David, thoughts about how to convince folks?
I would push back on the idea of belief, because I don't think either for Phil or Fry it's an issue of belief. If you're coming from looking at the scientific literature, it's never about belief. It's about probability. And we're talking about processes in the climate system where the chemistry and physics are well characterized, starting at the beginning of the 19th century, from about 1824 to 1896. So we're not talking rocket science, we're not talking quantum physics, we're talking about basic science that we know is going to change the temperatures on the surface of this planet. And we've seen it on other planets, we've seen it in the paleoclimate history of our own planet, where if you have changes in greenhouse gases, you are changing the dial of the AC for the whole planet. And if you set the thermostat to 10, 18 degrees in a different direction, things are going to change. So the way I convince people, I don't think I convince anyone. I think I might be able to push their thinking, but I ask them simple things, because not everybody understands radiative forcing or greenhouse gases or spectroscopy. But I ask them, do they believe in greenhouses? Do they believe the car will get hot if you roll up the windows? And we know greenhouse gases work the same way. So if they believe that you can buy tomatoes in winter or that a car in the summer will get hot in the parking lot, then I suspect there's a chance.
So you're basically saying we're rolling up the window on the world.
I'm not giving up hope.
Well, I think that what's more important now is to take the people that already believe and understand what's going on and move forward, which is what you guys are doing. So tell me more about Pi. How is Pi Energy going to change things? How are you going to impact our future?
So what we're doing is enabling a market-driven solution. So people decide to do this not just because they can help the environment, because it's easy to do. Our technology is driven to being able to expand where you put solar and make it easier to use solar. So taking a collection of multiple capabilities, the technology will enable you to put this solar on any surface, surfaces that weren't available beforehand. You can add it to a roof structure, wrapping it around buildings, protrusions, put it on mobile devices, wrapping it around electric vehicles, delivery trucks, buses. If you can put the solar closer to the source of demand, you're taking out a lot of the infrastructure costs, and this expands the available solar market. So what we're looking to do is accelerate renewable energy by enabling more markets. It's easier for people to use. And even if you don't believe in global climate change, you will still use it because you want to. It's easier to use. It's more practical.
I was just talking to my brother. He's a big Tesla fan. He's saving up to buy a Tesla. He's excited about the idea of having solar on the vehicle just because Elon's been talking about that recently. And I told him that I was recording this episode with Pi Energy that could make that much more of a reality and make that much more effective. So he got super excited. So I know we'll have at least my brother listening when this episode comes out. David, do you want to add to that?
If you can put low-cost PV on almost any surface, you're changing the way solar is installed. That means any roof, any structure, you can wrap around any kind of hardware, mobile device, electric vehicle of any sort. You're looking at surfaces which were previously impractical for PV installation. That lowers the cost. It's a game changer.
Can you talk about some of those surfaces that are impractical today?
If you look at most PV today, crystalline silicon, you're looking at substantial weight per square foot. And there's many structures that will collapse under that weight. So in the case of traditional PV, many times you have to put the racking, the mounting, just to protect this brittle, heavy object, which means a lot of surfaces are not open to installation and you can't walk on it. So if you have thin, durable PV that you can peel off and stick and people can walk on it, let's say on a commercial industrial roof, it changes not only the installation cost, but where you can install it. So there's almost any solid surface would be open for PV installation, which is not the case today.
So I think we're getting into the technology. Well, what I've heard you say is that it's thin and that it's lighter so that it can go places where current PV cannot. Do you want to talk more about the technology?
What's also important is that it has the higher performance that is missing on some. There are some thin film PV, but they miss on one of very key characteristics. And it needs to be flexible, light, as we talked about, but non-toxic, durable. So if you put it on your roof, you don't want in 2 or 3 years to the performance to degrade. And it needs to be made with earth-abundant materials. So if you really want it to be globally scalable, you can't be self-limiting by the type of material that's being used. And one of the other key ones is non-toxic. There are some flexible thin film solar that's being developed, but they have cadmium or lead. And I don't think anybody wants on their car or their roof, especially in fire season, a toxic material.
So you're talking about thin, efficient, safe, long-lasting solar material at a price that is below current PV.
Exactly. And that's what you need. You need all of those to make it successful in a global market for all these applications we're talking about.
That's very exciting.
For example, we're looking at this commercial industrial customer that wants PV in a non-weight-bearing roof. So they can't put CadTel, they can't put 6 because of toxicity issues. Crystalline silicon would collapse a roof. So they would have to probably pay about $30 million to reinforce the roof to do a $10 million crystalline silicon installation. And if we offer them something at, say, 1/8 of the price, it's a go. So it's not an issue of just cheaper. It's an issue of this is really the only alternative.
Well, as you drive the price of the technology down, you could get to those numbers. But even if you can get to where it's more expensive than PV today, but you don't require the restructuring of the roof, that gets you a solution that's better than what's out there today.
Precisely.
Right. And then like on electric vehicles, you aren't going to put a big wing on your car like a solid PV. So it would look funny.
You're not going to strap a glass window on the top of your
Tesla. Wheel. Yes.
And we have to consider EVs will become more ubiquitous. So cost is important. So you need to have it be flexible, non-toxic, durable, and high performance, and at a competitive price. Because it's not just the markets of in California, Germany, and Denmark. You're also looking at the rest of the planet.
There's already a solar market that is thriving and growing all the time. How are you going to enter that market successfully with a product that is so different?
Thriving is a relative term. Current PV supplies less than 1% of consumed primary energy. That number is about 0.38%. Starting from zero, a lot of things can be thriving, but we think solar is the most abundant source of renewable energy. Should be substantially larger. So how do we enter a market where there are already large multi-billion dollar companies? Initially, we want to stay out of the big boys' way, which means we go after markets where they can't play. And those are markets where weight and non-toxic are requirements, which means there's no competition. That's low-hanging fruit. So non-weight bearing, non-toxic, the commercial industrial PV installation. That's phase one. Phase two, you start to partner with other companies for manufacturing and distribution. That's how you get economies of scale. Now you can start to compete against the big boys. And then finally, phase three, you're partnering with OEMs so that you're supplying into electric vehicle supply chain, because we're not going to be making that. That's somebody else's problem. There's so many different markets. There's hundreds of different application.
And you believe you'll be able to put the Pi Energy material on a car without changing anything else about the car.
Exactly. But that's something that an automotive supplier is going to be doing. And then finally, you're licensing this technology. In the end, you want global deployment so that you're going after those huge markets, different market segments in every economy, in every region.
Excellent. So I know we've been talking about all this happy stuff, but I know that you've had some setbacks. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we have had setbacks. As any time you're developing a new technology, you have setbacks. But part of that is you learn from each one. You build a team, the team gets the expertise they need, and they push on through. And we've done that. And through all our, we're on P4, on this fourth generation, we have fine-tuned this technology to focus on not only the technology itself, but the manufacturability and the end performance. And we've learned through all this, and we've got a much better technology product than we did when we started.
So like many, you've reversed my setback question and kind of showed how it led to success, which is fine. Can you talk about the success you're most proud of?
From the beginning, the goal of the company was to have a globally scalable PV. So you're already begging for a lot of challenges to overcome. And pride comes from, I think, overcoming something which is incredibly difficult. So the company started by setting such impossible standards compared to the current PV industry. And those were to have a material that could be sold around the world without a subsidy, which means you're producing on a high-speed roll-to-roll, ideally with off-the-shelf manufacturing equipment that's been reconfigured, and your final product that can be installed anywhere has to be flexible, ultra-light, non-toxic, durable, high-performance, and made from earth-abundant materials. That's quite a set of parameters.
And you have those very well memorized, it seems to me.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So you have a development path where most companies would never put themselves in a position to go through this very tough development path that's going to take many years. And I think it's been quite an accomplishment to overcome challenge after challenge, because when you're setting yourself up to lick this very tough problem, and you have to wrestle with seven parameters or more at the same time across many years, and this is not software. You're wrestling with nature, and nature has no, it doesn't forgive. You can't fake it. You have what you have. And now, after four generations, over 2,000 small-scale prototypes, we're looking finally at a product that we can see is, wow, this is probably going to be the large-scale commercial product. So we went from prototype 1, P1, through P4, and P could also stand for Prometheus, stealing fire from the gods to benefit mankind. This is quite a challenge, and I think Phil should be very proud. This is quite a feat.
It's been a team effort, too. I mean, this has been, it started with actually David and myself, and part of this challenge has been the fundraising and technical and many other parameters besides just what you would expect.
So I know you're super excited about this latest prototype that you have, or your latest Prometheus stealing from the gods that you're taking on. What is your vision of the future? Where do you see the world in 20, 30, 40 years?
So there's so many things that need to change, and I think this P4 structure is a path to that future. And it's a future, for me, where the world is not continuously degrading, where you have a sustainable civilization. Everything would have to change for the better, and it would have to be sustainable. So even things like, let's say we took a flight on an airplane, that fuel would have to come from solar energy used to synthesize fuel, maybe some synthetic hydrocarbon that was carbon neutral, maybe hydrogen. And then let's say you land in an airport, you would have solar on almost every surface. And then you also have the ability to have energy storage for a stable local microgrid. And these might be technologies that are globally scalable, but low efficiency. But if you have plenty of solar PV, you can do a lot of crazy enabling energy storage technologies, like some solar thermal, some iron-based battery electrochemistries. And then every part of the energy infrastructure in the economy is carbon neutral or carbon negative. And even industrial processes, like a Haber-Bosch process to make fertilizers, would have to come from non-thermal solar energy. And you can do this, but you have to drive the cost of solar installed PV and enable other technologies by lowering that cost of clean energy. But that means you can have a sustainable civilization, which we have not had ever.
What I see is an integration of multiple renewable energies, all tied together. So you have the sun, you have the wind, new technologies that we haven't even imagined that's being integrated into this, and along with it, storage. So you have each one of these using their unique capabilities, solar during the day, wind at the off hours, storage in between, all together in one integrated economy and across the world, because solar is all over the world. And each economy across the world is using the available renewable energy resources.
And do you think we're going to get there in time?
I'm hopeful. I think there's a lot of demand. There's a lot of people very interested in this. You can see that in the world. People want this solution.
Okay, then with that, I'm going to wrap this up, and I'm going to do it with a wrap. Well, it seems to me by force of will, all demonstrated by David and Phil with P4, For we finally got the proof that we can put this on any roof. Solving for global solar is extremely daring. You've got to be able to put it on roofs that are not weight-bearing. If you have the data and training, which goes for each of us, it's your responsibility or guilt to take on Prometheus. To keep the cost of solar down and make a sun dent, you need to leverage materials that are earth abundant. When we have durable, safe, flexible solar to wrap any form, high performance solar on every EV will be the norm. P1, P2, P3, let me hear you roar. Global sustainability is inside with P4. High Energy is unique on the Climate Champions in two ways. First, they're the only guests I've had on a second time. They were the second episode I ever recorded, and I've learned a lot since then. Also, it's been a long time, and they've come a long way. Also, they remain the only multiple guest discussion. Two of them, one of me. This time I had much better equipment, and based on what I've heard about their P4 prototype, so do they. If you have comments or questions about the podcast, visit my website at www.crevatenergyinnovations.com and drop me an email. I would love to hear from you. And if you're enjoying the Climate Champions podcast series, please subscribe, rate it 5 stars if you're an Apple user, and tell your climate-concerned friends about it. And if you're in San Diego and want to trade your concern about climate change for a few hours of some great laughs, most weekends I'm doing improv comedy at either the Old Town Improv Company or Finest City Improv or both. Contact me to confirm specific show dates, and if you want to release from some of life's stress or to improve your speaking skills, consider taking an improv workshop at an improv club in your town. Pi Energy's mission to transform the solar industry seems to be well on its way. P4 is looking to fulfill the promise of being inexpensive, flexible, and lightweight because it is ultra-thin. It is also non-toxic, made from earth-abundant materials, durable, high-performing, and manufactured using inexpensive, off-the-shelf, roll-to-roll equipment. This combination of factors makes it perfect for non-weight-bearing roofs, most other external surfaces for residential, commercial, and industrial markets, and wrapping electric cars and buses, mobile devices, and more, enabling clean energy for the whole planet and helping to mitigate climate change.